please the court. My name is Andrew Gray, representing DRTG Builders. This is a petition for review of a denial of DRTG's motion for relief from a final order based on a purportedly untimely notice of contest. And DRTG now asks the court to reverse the administrative law judge's decision to deny that motion. At bottom, the ALJ's underlying decision here holds that where an employer was not properly served with process in compliance with the Occupational Safety and Health Act, that the employer has no remedy as a matter of law. But I believe this court's precedent says otherwise. So if I have time here today, I'd like to discuss the three key reasons why DRTG is entitled to relief here. First is that under Rule 60B1, the ALJ's decision did not give proper consideration to three of the pioneer factors, each of which weigh in the company's favor. Second, even focusing solely on that fourth factor, whether—
So let me ask you just straight away, where this notice was actually delivered.
I'm sorry?
Where the notice was delivered.
Yes, Your Honor. The notice was attempted to be delivered via certified mail to the to DRTG's registered address. However, the office was unoccupied at that time, and so after the—
But the owner of the building, was his home?
It's his home, yes.
So the notice actually went to his home?
That's correct.
And he was not there for—
He wasn't there for the day that it was delivered, and so, or the day that the Postal Service attempted delivery, and so they—
How much time left after they accepted delivery? A mailing went out and return receipt requested, and no one was there.
Correct.
The next one went out, correct?
The next, it was sent via UPS, and it wasn't delivered to any specific individual. It was left on the company's doorstep.
The company's doorstep, his residence?
Yes.
But did he live there?
He did, Your Honor, and I'm not sure of the specifics, but I know that he wasn't there and didn't return to the address until after the fact. And that was a number of days after the citation was delivered.
Well, I don't know about the specifics, but the man either lived there or he didn't, and it was his residence that he was living there, and I'm just trying to understand. It's important to—
I understand, Your Honor, and while I don't know specifically why he was away from his address for the length of time that he was, I do know that DRTG did submit a declaration from the owner stating that he was absent from his address. And in fact, at the hearing on this matter, the administrative law judge noted that from his address, he'd been absent for a period of 3 months with, I believe, the implication that, an absence from someone's home is neither uncommon nor unreasonable.
But this is the address that was provided to the government, right?
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, in the hearing on this matter, the OSHA Houston area director did testify about previous citations that the company had received to this address and that were responded to in a timely manner. Which I'll note that in this court's decision in Coleman Hammonds v. OSHRC, that was actually a point that the court noted was evidence of the employer's proper mail delivery and mail handling procedures was the employer's ability to receive prior OSHA citations and respond to them in a timely manner, and that this was, in essence, a lone departure from that prescribed practice.
I'm sorry, what's the departure here?
The departure would be, namely, that this citation wasn't received when it was attempted to be delivered, or that DRTG was absent from its office, meaning the owner's home, at the time that—
But what would you have the government do?
I'm sorry?
What would you have the government do?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, I would have had the government attempt to deliver the citation through certified mail more than once, because as the record makes clear, the Postal Service only attempted delivery one time before they used UPS, or as an alternative, Your Honor, as while no court has endorsed this practice, the Review Commission has allowed for alternative means of service.
So what's your best authority for the proposition that when Congress certified mail, it requires multiple certified mail efforts?
Well, Your Honor, in other cases, in civil cases involving alternative methods of service, of process, courts will commonly require a certain level of effort before they will give leave to grant certified mail. For example, I have the precise...
I'm not sure I understand what you mean, though, by granting leave for certified mail.
To allow...
Certified mail is the only permissible method.
Yes, I was attempting to say that granting leave to allow an alternative method of service in a civil case. And so
but in this case, there is no alternative, right? The only prescribed method is certified mail.
I agree, Your Honor. However, the Review Commission has held that alternative methods are available, and while this court or no other that I'm aware of has agreed with that holding.
Isn't that wrong? I mean, the statute doesn't say alternative.
I believe that's wrong.
Let's hypothesize that instead of using certified mail or UPS, they had just hand-delivered it, personally delivered it. Would that start the clock?
I believe so, Your Honor, if only because previous cases have held that a procedural default in the method of OSHA's delivery of the notification is of consequence, but only when there's no actual receipt of the notice. And so in the case of had OSHA used a process server, there would have been actual receipt and actual notice of the citation. And so it would have been, I believe, of little issue there.
What does your field operations manual, the OSHA field operations manual, say?
Well, Your Honor, the OSHA field operations manual does state that an alternative method of service, while it doesn't prescribe specifically UPS or a private courier service, it does state that an alternative method is available if certified mail is not feasible or isn't working out. However, it doesn't discuss basically the amount of effort that the government must put forth outset in order to utilize certified
mail.
Actually,
it doesn't say anything about feasible. It says, citations shall be sent by certified mail, hand delivery of citations, or use of a mail delivery service other than the Postal Service can be used in addition to certified mail if it is believed that these methods would effectively give the employer notice of the citation. It doesn't say anything about whether the certified mail was effective or not. It just says they can use alternative methods.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, the key point I see in that passage is that it still must be reasonably calculated to provide service here. And I disagree with the Secretary's arguments that UPS, meaning a delivery to the doorstep of this office or this owner's residence, you know, similar to a newspaper, is reasonably calculated to give them notice of that citation.
It's not any different from the notice that you get with an unsuccessful certified mail. They leave a receipt on the door or something, don't they, for certified mail?
Yes, that's correct. However, in most cases, and what we would have recommended the government do so here is attempted to deliver the citation via certified mail more than just that single one time. And that's...
Let's say somebody had accepted the certified mail, but it stipulated that nobody ever opened it.
Well, Your Honor, I believe the Coleman-Hammond's case from this court in 2019 would allow for relief on that basis. For example, in that case, the relevant employee who was responsible for handling and receiving mail, including OSHA citations, was absent from the office for over a month, and an OSHA citation was delivered and signed for by a secretary of that company, and because of the relevant employee's absence, the citation went unresponded to until well after that 15 working day time period. And in response, this court found that that was a single instance of unforeseeable human error that wasn't, that didn't place the company at fault and granted 60B1 relief.
Right. I'm sorry. Let me be clear. I'm not asking a 60B question yet. I'm asking just whether there was service. Are you conceding that if the certified mail was in fact received, it was just never opened?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, I would concede that if it was.
But why is this any different?
Well, Your Honor, there was no
delivery. You've got the attempted delivery notice. Either way, you've been tagged, essentially. Your client's been tagged with the information, with the notification. It's just up to your client to then take the next step.
Well, Your Honor, the attempted delivery notice, as well as the UPS delivery of the citation, was essentially on the doorstep of DRTG's office. However, to actually receive the notice, an employee would have had to have been there to pick it up, so to speak. And here, that didn't occur, and so there was no actual notice. It was essentially contingent on an employee returning to the office to realize that there was an attempted delivery or a UPS delivery.
Isn't this one of those areas in the law, though, where we really need formal rules? I mean, instead of having all these debates and discussions about who was where and...
Yes, Your Honor, and on that point, and as to Judge Smith's discussion earlier about the field operations manual, OSHA and the Secretary are free to implement formal rulemaking on the precise methods of service of process and the precise methods of delivery of citations. However, they've not done so. Instead, the Secretary relies...
Why isn't the statute enough?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't the statute enough?
Well, Your Honor, I do believe that the statute is enough, but to the extent that the Secretary wishes to allow for alternative methods of service or to not abide by the strict statutory language that requires notice via certified mail and receipt of that notice to begin the 15 working day clock.
You don't deny that the attempted delivery notice was in fact posted in the correct place.
Yes, I do agree that it was posted in the correct place on the office's or this house's front door. However, no employee was there to realize that it had been posted. And in cases like Coleman and as well in the Third Circuit's decision in George Harms Construction v. Chow, absences from the office or even forgetting the receipt of a citation has been shown to be excusable neglect in those circumstances.
Neglect means you were served. It's just that you might be able to get discretionary 60B relief.
Yes, Your Honor. In some cases, courts have held that, and in others, for example, the Seventh Circuit has held that where there is no effectual service of process, the 60B analysis doesn't come into effect, and there's no requirement for a meritorious defense or what have you. And I believe that line of reasoning is supported here by equitable tolling in this court's decision in Atlantic Marine v. OSHA from 1975, where the court stated that because of the secretary's deception, which we don't believe is at issue here, or a failure to follow proper procedures is the cause for delay, then the 15 working day period can be equitably tolled to essentially not preclude an employer from being able to defend themselves on the merits in light of an untimely notice of contest. And there it's worth noting that in Atlantic Marine, the court did specify what the proper procedures were at issue, which is federal regulations. And here, the field operations manual is, to my knowledge, not even available to the general public, much less subject to the rigors of the Administrative Procedure Act, or have any effect as a matter of law. And so to the extent that the field operations manual allows for any alternative method of service, I don't believe it has any effect here, nor does it allow give OSHA leeway to not abide by the express statutory language. If I see that I am running out of time here, so if I may briefly conclude, it's DRTG's belief that in light of the administrative law judge's decision here, while he did discuss the proper legal standards under Rule 60B1 and 6, he didn't give them due consideration, particularly those factors that do, as this court has found, as a matter of course, almost always weigh in favor of the employer. In addition, because the Secretary of OSHA failed to effectuate proper service of process and thereby failed to follow proper procedures, this court's equitable tolling precedent applies as well.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. You've saved time for rebuttal.
Yes.
Please the court. My name is Juan Lopez. Good afternoon. I represent the Secretary of Labor. I'm here to ask that the court deny DRTG's petition for review and affirm the commission's final order that resulted from its untimely notice of contest. Contrary to the company's assertions, OSHA, in accordance with the OSHA Act and its own written procedures, twice delivered legally sufficient notice to the address that the company itself provided to OSHA during the inspection. The ALJ properly dismissed the RTG's late notice of contest for three reasons. First, the record evidence in over 40 plus years of commission precedent demonstrate that the company in this case did in fact receive sufficient notice of the citation on September 24th. When OSHA delivered the citation by UPS mail in a method reasonably calculated to provide notice.
Yeah, but the statute says certified mail.
It indeed says certified mail.
UPS next day is not certified.
It's technically not. The statute section 10A provides that OSHA, the secretary, must provide notice of the citation by certified mail. In this case, OSHA strictly complied with that provision by sending the notice by certified mail. In addition, since 1979, the commission, applying principles of due process, has said that the proper test for determining whether notice has been provided to an employer is whether the chosen method is reasonably calculated to achieve that notice. And what that means really is that in accordance with the commission's B.J. Hughes case from 1979 and many other cases thereafter, the actual notice in the strictest sense is not required. In fact, an alternative method of service may be used when certified mail cannot be effected. So, the employer in this case received such notice on September 24th when OSHA delivered the citation for a second time. OSHA sent the citation initially by certified mail in strict compliance with the Act, and when the employer did not have someone available to receive service, and when the post office delivery person left a delivery slip notice at the address informing the company that the citation would be available at the local post office for pickup, until October 1st, the company...
Your position is that delivery, attempted delivery notice, is sufficient under the statute?
It's sufficient for OSHA to send a citation by certified mail. When that delivery is unsuccessful, which in this case it was, and when OSHA is aware of that fact, we can see that there's additional follow-up measures that must be taken.
You concede that you have to go further than that.
I'm sorry, did I hear you?
You're conceding that mere delivery of the attempted delivery notice does not satisfy the statute?
I'm conceding that more is needed for two reasons. First, the commission has ruled that reasonable attempts must be made. And so when we know that the citation has in fact not been received, has been unclaimed for a period of time, we have to take additional steps. Secondly, the 15-day...
You know, the government does not want to argue that delivery of the attempted delivery notice constitutes receipt of certified mail.
That's not what this case is about.
Because I don't know if you're aware that there are courts that have said that that's enough. Title VII context, for example.
There sure are cases like that, but in the OSHA context and in accordance with commission case law, we do take additional measures, and what I was getting at is that the 15...
Okay, well then you should lose.
I'm sorry?
I mean, that's your only argument.
Well, we believe that we have to take additional measures because there's a 15-day notice of contest period, and we need a date certain in order to...
Right, but UPS delivery is not certified mail delivery.
It is not certified mail delivery, but it's a method reasonably calculated to apprise the employer of the citation in this case. Especially...
That's the due process standard. That's not the statutory requirement.
Right, but the commission has applied that same standard with respect to the method chosen for notifying the employer of the citation. In this case, the employer didn't have anyone available to accept the citation. On September 16th, when the initial mailing of the certified mail was attempted, and not just that one instance, but my colleague mentions that no one was available on that day. Apparently, there was no one available from that day moving forward up until the citation was finally determined to be unclaimed at the post office, because no one ever claimed it from the post office, and no one ever retrieved it, or there's no evidence or explanation in the record as to why the employer in this case did not receive that UPS mailing that was left at its doorstep. There's still no explanation given as to what the reasons for those are. And in addition, like I mentioned, OSHA became aware that the citation was unclaimed over a week later after sending the citation. And under the due process cases from the Supreme Court, we must take additional measures to safeguard employers' due process rights, to inform them and take additional measures, which in this case we did. Furthermore, an agency, in this case OSHA, is not required to undertake heroic efforts to notify an employer, and it's not required to substitute the claimant's proposed measures for others that would require verification of receipt. Furthermore, it's been claimed by the employer that Rule 4, services required, that the commission has already ruled that that's inapplicable in this instance, and in the cases of citations, because they do not initiate actions before the court. Furthermore, I would like to point out that any other rule whereby an employer must receive actual notice of the citation, and with respect to the circumstances in this case, would disincentivize an employer from undertaking due diligence and would permit employers whose internal procedures for handling citations and receiving citations are inadequate to delay receipt. And in situations like this, where a second attempt is made using something other than UPS mail, there needs to be a method for determining the receipt date. And in this case, the UPS delivery to the address provided by the employer on that second attempt should be able to provide that date for OSHA in order to determine the 15-day notice of contest period. And the reason for that is that under the Act, after 15 days of a citation being uncontested, it becomes a final order of the commission. And the commission has ruled that a delay of that time period is not contemplated. I would also like to note that the Supreme Court in Jones v. Flowers, in discussing what additional measures must be undertaken by the government, noted that a reasonable follow-up measure may include use of regular mail without the need for proof of signature. And in this case, a UPS next day air delivery is indeed more reliable. There's tracking that can be had, as well as assurances that the notice of the citation has actually reached its destination. On the issue of the Rule 60B relief that the employer claims here, its entire argument rests on the purported lack of notice. For the reasons I've already stated, that claim lacks basis in law, and in fact, the employer provided no other evidence of any of the factors during the hearing. It was provided an opportunity to present evidence of its internal mail handling procedures, but in fact did not provide any at all. The only thing it argues is that in fact no one was available at the address, and that simply is not enough. All the cases that the employer relies on in this case have specific evidence from the employer of its procedures, whether it be a secretary or other managers that receive mail, how they route that mail to the employer. That is not, that's simply not in the record in this case. Simply arguing that no one's at the registered business address provided to OSHA for extended periods of time, that's no evidence of any good faith or any sort of reason that's excusable for the delay. Lastly, the employer argues that equitable tolling should be had in this case under this court's Atlantic Marine precedent. That simply is incorrect. The company is not entitled to equitable tolling because Atlantic Marine and other cases under that progeny are not similar, to simply provide that when OSHA or an employee of the agency has indeed deceived the employer, or if OSHA has failed to follow its procedures, then equitably tolling the statute would best serve the statute's purposes. And like I mentioned, there is simply no such evidence in this case. And DRTG today has conceded that there's simply no deception. It has also conceded that the FOM, in fact, allows for a method of service in addition to certified mail, such as private couriers like UPS. And with respect to, my colleague mentioned that there may be prejudice in this case and that the ALJ failed to weigh the other factors. In fact, it was the company's burden to lay out evidence to meet those factors, and because there was simply no evidence, the ALJ had nothing to weigh. But in any event, there is prejudice when, if this court or the commission were to grant relief in a situation like this, it would allow employers to evade service by ignoring the citation.
As I understand the record, I'm asking you to help us with the record here, that the company acknowledges that it knew about the citation at least by October 18th. Is that right?
They claim that they are entitled to an October 18th receipt date, given that there was a next of kin letter with a copy of the citation.
Okay, that helps. And then, as I understand it, then the company still waited more than 2 weeks to file its notice of contest, even though it had already had some contact with OSHA about the citation.
That's right, Arnold. So maybe to step back, the citation was delivered to the DRTG address on September 24th. The 15 notice contest period ended on October 16th. The very next day, on the 17th, an OSHA employee got in contact with the employer to discuss their failure to provide documentation for abatement as required by the citation itself. And they discussed the citation. So the employer at least had verbal notice, at the very least, by that date, not to mention the earlier citation notices that were sent. And so they allege that they actually received the citation on the 18th, again, based on that next of kin letter.
But they still waited 2 weeks after that,
right? Yeah, they waited approximately 3 weeks to file the notice of contest. It was received on November 5th, or as they stand on November 5th, which is past the date of the final order. And so Section 10 says certified mail, but simply that was written in 1970, and I think that gets to Judge Ho's question about certified mail being directly in the statute. At that time, post office certified mail was the most reliable and available means for the government to provide notice. UPS and others like FedEx began providing similar and service early in by the 1970s and mid-1970s, and the courts have read the provision to allow for other methods that similarly meet the intent and purpose of Section 10A.
What's your best authority? You say courts have done that?
Yeah, there's plenty of civil cases and ALJ cases within the commission that provide that UPS.
Okay, when you say court cases, do you mean, when you say cases, you don't mean a federal court of appeal?
There are several in the civil context, not in the OSHA context, providing that UPS delivery is equal to certified mail.
What's your best case for the proposition that UPS type delivery?
I don't have a
citation. Certified mail, if that's in the statute.
I don't have citations directly before me, but I'm happy to provide a rule, a letter to the court providing that. But as I mentioned before, the commission test and the test that's been used provides that the method used for notice must be reasonably calculated. So it's a very flexible test. It is a case-by-case test, and we believe that we've met that in this case, not once but twice, by sending first the citation by certified mail in strict compliance with the Act, and then by sending it again.
But is your point that UPS type delivery is as good as, or in fact better than, certified mail, or that it literally is certified mail for statutory purposes?
No, our argument is not that it's certified mail. Certified mail.
Right. Your point is it's just as good, so why not accept it?
Well, it's just as good. Sending the notice by certified mail in the first instance was unsuccessful, and that's been deemed not an effective method.
Right. So you're not arguing that if somebody says I want certified mail, that you've satisfied that requirement by providing FedEx or UPS?
That's not our argument, no, sir.
So then the problem is, you know, you say that Congress passed the statute before FedEx was readily available, but isn't that Congress's job to update the statute, not ours?
It is indeed Congress's job to amend the statute. It is also the court's job to interpret and create rules to align with the realities of the workplace and the country as a whole. And in this case, the commission has done that by reading into Section 10A a test for proper method of service, which we believe we've met in this case. I would like to point out also that the employer under Texas statute is required to designate an agent to receive service. In this case, it's been noted that the business address is also the home of the business owner. He lives there and his family lives there. That's noted in the record, and it's undisputed. So the fact that he did not meet his obligations under Texas code serves as evidence of their lack of due diligence and failure to have proper mail handling procedures, which the commission has noted is a requirement, not only with respect to Rule 60B, but as a whole, that the reasonableness of the government's method of service cannot be negated by the lack of due diligence on the part of the employer. Furthermore, I'd like to note that the courts have construed the reasonable calculated test as you have to look at it from the government or sender's perspective. In this case, the government has done all it can do, first by sending by certified mail, following up 10 days later to see if that was indeed delivered, and then sending an additional citation by UPS mail, which is a method reasonably calculated to reach the employer. And again, I'd like to emphasize there's still no explanation from the employer as to why they could not have received the citation. If they, in fact, did receive the next of kin letter by way of their employee, it's unclear why they never were able to pick up the certified mail from the post office or from their own doorstep. And that's simply not enough to negate the government's reasonable efforts in this case.
Well, it could be that they're just manipulating the system, seeing how far they can stretch it.
It's possible, and the evidence does not go that quite that far, but we don't need to prove any kind of fraud or any kind of deliberate evasion. It's simply that the employer lacked any sort of methods for accepting the citation. And so I see that my time is almost up. The government today asked that the OTG, that the court affirm the commission's final order for the reasons discussed. The DRTG, received notice within the meaning of Section 10A on September 24th, when the citation was delivered to the company's registered business address, which the company provided to OSHA. DRTG failed to establish a sufficient basis, sufficient Rule 60B basis for relief, or any equitable basis for relief of the 15-day notice of contest period. There's no evidence to suggest any deception or failure to follow the rules that would justify equitably tolling the period, and for these reasons, the court should deny their petition for review and affirm the commission's final order.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez.
Thank you.
Ray, you say time for a vote.
Jerry, I got tilted up a little bit, but I'm not getting there, boys.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Tilted down just a little bit.
from this?
I did.
First, I think one of the Secretary's arguments conflated the requirement that OSHA send the citation and notification of penalties with the secondary provision of that statute where the 15-day working period to file a notice of contest begins running. That clock begins running upon receipt of the notification, not upon the day when OSHA delivers, when OSHA sends it, nor by when they consider it delivered. And two cases
Was that the October 18th date, according to your...
Yes, Your Honor, that is when DRTG contends that it actually received notice of the citation. And two cases support that line.
And so why was it then that you waited another 3 weeks to file any kind of a notice?
Well, Your Honor, that was the date. To be precise, it was DRTG filed the notice of contest 14 working days, to use the statute's term, after it received actual notice. And so along those lines, it did, in fact, file its notice of contest within the statutory time limit based on when it received that notice. But that said, any future such delay, while also not, while such a thing has never been required either by this court or others when discussing whether Rule 60B relief is available, I mean, it's understandable to believe that an employer, particularly a very small employer without sophisticated operations, would need a few days to first review the citation and understand what is required of them, and then to contact counsel and have them prepare a notice of contest and file that with the court. And so it's our position that the 14 days after receipt of the notice was reasonable in light of all of these circumstances in which to file its notice. And on that point, I would argue that the pioneer factor that addresses any delay in filing, basically the amount of delay that a party took in filing its case, is relevant here. However, the Secretary's arguments on that point are kind of significantly belayed, in my opinion, by the fact that it's now been well over a year that DRTG has still not been able to defend itself on the merits. I mean, the company is a small company with approximately 14 employees, and it's been over a year and spent, quite honestly, a lot of attorney's fees just trying to get its foot in the door. And so I would note that on that point of actual receipt of notice, two cases support that line of reasoning. First, an OSHA Review Commission case, Reedy Tank Erectors, that held that the 15-day period from when respondent receives the notice, quote, can only run from the date of respondent's actual receipt of the notification. And likewise, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in J.I. Haas v. OSHA from 1981 did remand the case back to the Review Commission for the express purpose of further factual findings about whether the employer did have actual receipt of a citation.
Counsel, what was the actual violation that was being noticed, asserted violation?
Here there was a violation based on a workplace injury that ended in a fatality that in essence stems from an employee's failure to wear a seatbelt while operating a forklift. However, Your Honor, on that point, the Secretary's comparison of this case to Jones v. Flowers is I believe, in opposite for two reasons. First, he states that the government need not undertake heroic efforts, but I think it clear that a single instance of delivering or attempted delivery via certified mail is far short of heroic efforts. I mean, had they attempted to deliver it even more than once, they may have an argument. And for example, in Jones v. Flowers, which is a tax delinquency case, that case involved attempted delivery via certified mail over the course of at least three times over the course of several months until the court granted it an alternative means. And here, OSHA has not shown any such efforts on their part. I see I'm out of time, so if you have any further questions, I'm
Your time has expired and your case is under submission. Thank you.